Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, NBA, the Stanley Cup playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Hello and welcome to the Pirates Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. I'm your host, Gary Morgan, here on a somber day where the season is completely over already, Jim. Say hello to everybody on this terrible funeral show that we're definitely going to do.
Yeah, Gary, I can't even muster up any energy. I'm already looking forward to the draft and just, you know, going to let this play out because, as we know, baseball is a very short season, and I think we have all the answers, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start. Let's say, first of all, if you're making blanket statements like the bullpen is a problem, the starting pitching looks great, the hitting is awful, you probably haven't seen enough baseball to 100% know exactly what they're going to be quite yet. This is probably a 500 team-ish. You know, I think they'll top that number. I think they'll be in this all year. They're a good baseball team. But they're going to go through this stuff, man. Like, it's going to be bad here and there. This is a series right here, Jim, and we might as well get right into the first topic. Let's go Andy Haynes right away. If you didn't want to fire Andy Haynes in the offseason, you haven't seen enough as the Pirates management to fire him now. It isn't going to happen right now. I don't even know how the hell you judge him. All I know is we've seen enough that I've been done for a long time. I just automatically think I'm seeing what he's coaching. What do you think, man? Like, it sucks to watch sometimes, and it doesn't work against certain staffs.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where when pitchers are helping you, it's going to look pretty decent. But if pitchers are not, and they are effectively executing, throwing strikes, it's tough to survive in the major leagues being behind in counts. If you're not going to get a pitch that you like early, you're probably not going to get it later in an at-bat when you're behind.
Right.
So what you're seeing is up until this point, they've gotten away from it or gotten away with it. Derek Shelton today said he'd like them to be a little bit more aggressive. He said that in the post game. So maybe they'll adjust it. I think this is the flaw in the system, though, that really, really jumps out at you when you're facing pitchers that are executing.
I'll tell you what I think it does at its core. I think it talks about one great way to get a starting pitcher out of a game and get into a bullpen, which is to work them to death and soak them of pitches and get them out through attrition. But there's another way that it doesn't address, and it is you can beat the hell out of him too. You can hit what he's pitching. And I think the flaw in the system is maybe just that hint of doubt that it puts in someone's head that really probably should be making more contact on some fatter pitches. Like O'Neill Cruz sees a pitch right down the middle, but it's a little low. Well, you know, Andy's teaching him, you are not to swing at that. You want to swing at that first pitch if you're sure it's a strike. That's when you can swing at that first pitch. I don't know that you have time to make that decision. So I think your default goes to, well, I'll just keep the bat on the shoulder. That's going to be close at least. You know, and I think he's a guy that could be doing damage on some of those pitches. He's a good bad ball hitter. I'd like to see him a little more free swinging. The strikeouts can't get worse. You know, so like,
yeah, it's so funny because when you look at this situation, yeah, there's a lot of nuance to it and the pros and cons to it. You know, I think if you let Brian Reynolds, you know, be in this kind of system and approach, he's a complete enough hitter where it's not really going to bother him. But yeah, guys that have certain holes and deficiencies, I know you're trying to protect them against that, but in a way it kind of hurts them too, because then they might have passed up something that they could have done something with. So I just feel like we've got this push and this pull right now. And I feel like it can be taken to an extreme. And I think that that's what you're seeing right now, is they're getting so, so patient that you're not really giving yourself a good chance throughout the whole at bat.
Right. And, you know, Byron Nelson here says they have to be more aggressive. They are following the same pattern as last year. Totally right. I mean, that stands to reason. They brought back the same coach. And I think that's the track record that I was looking to get away from. They had a deficiency in talent here. So it's not like I thought he should have had them towards the top of the league and everything, or, you know, there shouldn't be something that they're falling off the table on. But his system doesn't work without power, and he hasn't had it, and they've never adapted to it. So if your system doesn't work without a certain element and you never adapt to it, you either better get that element in spades and it better come through, or you better adapt your system, right?
Yeah.
I think that's where I don't understand what's going on here, because I don't think you had a playoff team last year, but I think you had a team that probably could have looked a little better along the way if you kind of played to the talent you actually had instead of what you have to make your system work.
I think the power thing is a big aspect of it. You know, before the series started, or right when it started, they were sitting middle of the pack in Major League Baseball with home runs.
It's been a slow start for home runs in the league. Like Acuna just had his first one today.
Yeah, yeah. It's been kind of weird, because when you even look at the Pirates, I'm like, well, who's really doing well in that regard? No one. They're just getting a couple here and a couple there. I mean, Hayes doesn't have any yet. Henry Davis certainly doesn't. So I think that they thought, well, maybe we'll have some more of that power this year. That really hasn't played out. It's early. You know, as the weather warms up, I think you'll see that change a little bit. But they haven't gotten, I think, the big boost in that department that I think that they were hoping that they would get.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Even so, though, you know, I don't know how you avoid this being like go year for Haynes. If you have another year of offensive ineptitude, you know, like they've had, you know, these last couple years, I don't think you can get away with saying you don't at least think you had the talent, because I think on paper it looks like you do. So I think it'd be really hard to not hang him with that after this season. And I feel like they would, if only to save Shelton, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, obviously, you know, things were working for what they played. 18, 19 games. When it's working, it looks great. When it doesn't, it looks awful, awful. So, you know, they're going to have to make some adjustments here. And guys have just got to start hitting the ball when they get an opportunity to, like, all those two outs, two strikes. That wasn't.
There's some of these teams too. It's no prize to get into their bullpen. The Mets are one of those teams. Like, in many ways, you're better off swinging against these starters, keeping them in with their less than stellar stuff a little longer, get more looks at them than you are milking them to get to a bullpen that is up there.
You're totally right. There are a lot of teams where you do want to get into the bullpen. There are some teams that you do not want to get into their bullpen because it might actually even be the strongest part of their, you know, staff. So these are the pros and cons, man. And I'll tell you what, the Pirates have decided this is the route to go. It's been an ugly past week. The bats have really, really cooled off. Even Gary, even some of the runs they're scoring are, they're not scoring enough. And half of those ones are ugly, bizarre,
right,
kind of almost gift mistakes. So,
well, we got to take a break, but don't worry, everybody. Complaint Fest isn't nearly over.
DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Pirates Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. Hey, why not go into bashing another coach, Jim? Derek Shelton is his boss and the buck should stop there, right? Except when most of the directives are coming from above his head, right?
Yeah.
So I've seen an awful lot of Derek Shelton stuff this week already, and I get it. I do. When your team's losing, you're going to hear it, man. I think a lot of it is expected performers not performing. I think that's a lot of it. You know, that goes for the bullpen. That goes for the hitters. That I think he's putting out guys that should be performing for him, and they're not. And that's always going to look stupid. But
they've got too many guys right now that aren't carrying their weight. I mean, bottom line, I mean, they are not going to be a team that is going to be carried by one or two guys. Everybody has got to be carrying their weight. And then when you've got guys like Cruz, who's really, really struggling, the Henry Davis situation is worrisome. Jack's off to a slow start. There's more than just that. Kutch hasn't looked great. So we've got a lot of guys. I mean, that's four guys in your lineup that they're not really getting much out of at all.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that going on. I think, like, this team was carried by role players early on. You know, Connor Joe and Michael Taylor, they really, like, led the offense in many ways. You know, Brian Hayes was there as well, doing what he's been doing. He's been pretty consistently hitting. Maybe not for power, but he's been hitting. Alika Williams is hitting. You know, I mean, like, you got a lot of role players that are hitting.
Michael Taylor was Olivares. It was kind of those guys doing it.
Yeah, they've absolutely been doing that. And Brendan Gallagher points out that we're basically saying from last week they need to be more consistent. I love it. But no, we're looking at an offense where it was led by role players, and the hope all along is that the stars come along. You know, Reynolds has popped in here and there. O'Neill Cruz has popped in here and there. You know, a couple home runs. They're getting their RBIs here and there. Henry Davis has done absolutely nothing. This team's got a couple guys on this roster that there really isn't a good plan B for. And they have a lot of depth. But O'Neill Cruz is a guy that there is no plan B for. If you're not going to get the production you counted on out of O'Neill Cruz, you can forget the playoffs. That's a guy that has to get going. I believe he will. But this is the result of missing all last season, man. And honestly, he's tired. They need to bring up an extra infielder.
Yeah, well, Hayes is, you know, dealing with his...
Even with Hayes being down, they need a fifth infielder.
I would agree with you. And look, I think we are very much prisoners of the moment. And in baseball, that's a hard way to live, I think. Like, you know, if I would have told people at the beginning of the season, hey, the Pirates play 14 out of their first 18, 19 games on the road, and they're going to finish, what are they, 11 and 8 right now?
Yeah.
11 and 8, playing 14 road games, would you take that? Everybody would have said, absolutely, right? Like,
sure.
Sign me up. Who cares how it looks, whatever. But it's whenever you start well and then you have these types of games where they get swept in these series, then, you know, what I would encourage fans to do is baseball, 162 games, you're going to have good months and bad months. So, like, go, if nothing else, try to go month to month, but this game to game. I don't know how fans do that.
Even doing it week to week can be silly sometimes, like especially early on because the storyline changes so much. Until this last week with David Bednar and Aroldis Chapman kind of blowing up, and even Hunter Stratton today a little bit. Until this last week, the bullpen has been infallible. It's been the bulletproof strength of the universe that was going to guide us to the World Series, right? That whole storyline just changed this last week. They had a bad time of it. I mean, even like their Holderman comes back, his first appearance back in the bigs, you know, doesn't go well, gives up a home run. You know, that's not characteristic of what he does. It's not characteristic of what all of them have done. So, you know, kind of step back and look at the overall picture. The bullpen is still a strength. It just hasn't performed as one this last week.
I know people are bashing the bullpen. It's still really not a concern of mine. I do think that over the span of the season, there'll be a at least top third in that regard. It's ironic that we went from it's going to be the hitting that probably carries them, we're worried about starting pitching, and it turns into now it's been the exact opposite. But again, how many times have we seen that in baseball seasons, Gary? We're like, it looks like it's one thing, and then it looks completely different the next 10, 15 games.
I think it's funny, like, because, you know, we just got out of a series against Philadelphia where look at the players on that team. Should we have beaten them the way we beat them a couple times if they're hitting the way they normally hit? No. Do you think they're having a meltdown about Castellanos right now? I mean, that's a playoff series hero. You know, like that's probably going to be a good hitter as the season goes on. You know, I mean, he won the game against the Pirates, did he not? So at some point that's going to turn around for them. it's not really what they are right now, the way they're performing. Pirates aren't performing well. Their stars have not shown up yet.
And the Mets actually have been playing pretty good baseball.
Oh, they started 0-5 and roared back to where they are. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know,
4 series wins in a row.
Right. So somehow, sometimes it just comes down to when you catch teams and how do you look during those series. Ugly series, there's no doubt about it. Back to the original thing of what you were talking about with Shelton is, yes, he has some options, maybe a little bit better than in the past, but core guys absolutely have to produce. They have to. There's just right. No one's found that.
Well, let's circle back to that a little bit, but I want to depart to somebody who is producing, because Jared Jones, before we get into all the hoopla about him getting pulled out, which we are going to talk fully about, I want to just start with how remarkable he's been.
It's crazy.
I really hope that some of you are just taking time from complaining to just realize how historic some of what he's doing is. He's the fourth major leaguer since 1893 to accomplish the feat of 7 or more strikeouts in each of his first 4 career games. This is just unprecedented stuff for a pitching-starved franchise. To have something like that as a record right now is really crazy. And I just hope you're watching it, because we ignored this guy waiting for Paul Skenes too. So yeah.
Can you imagine being this? Think about even saying this. Paul Skenes has a lot to live up to with Jared Jones. You know what I mean? Like, how is that? That was a statement I couldn't even have entertained ever saying. And that's the bar that Jared Jones is setting right now. You know, and whether or not they're being too cautious with him, I'd rather be overly cautious with him than not. Because this has been special, Gary. This has been, I've never seen anything like it.
I mean, not a whole lot of people have. There's right. Nobody alive in one of those instances of it happening, right? So, I don't know. I guess for me, you know, let me bare my soul a little bit, because I'm somebody that's out there on putting a lot of content out. I write probably 5-6 things a week. I'm on 2 podcasts every week at least. I mean, I've talked about this Jared Jones situation for a long time. We've talked about it on this show as far back as early February about how he might have a shot to make the team and how they would have to manage his innings. And we even called out exactly how many we thought that would be, 150, which if you do 5 innings per over 30 starts is about 150, by the way. But there's a reason they're doing what they're doing, people. There really is. That's start number one, I'll say. That doesn't mean you have to like yesterday. There should maybe be some flexibility in that sort of thing. We can talk about these pre-designated plans and whether they should be less rigid if you want as another topic. I think that's cool. We should approach that, but that's their plan and they're sticking to it. And I don't know what else to say. I kind of don't hate it.
Yeah, it's funny. When it happened during the game and they took him out, social media was just on fire, right? They just can't believe. What I would say is this, is if you haven't been paying attention to how the game has been trending toward this, then you're not paying attention. I just, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't, did it surprise me that it was maybe 59 pitches in 5 innings? Yeah, but what was I expecting more than that? Maybe another inning? Maybe. This is how teams approach this stuff. Do I think it's right and do I like it? I don't necessarily like it. But this is the way the game is being approached now by, and it ain't Derek Shelton, by the way. Derek Shelton is not sitting there mandating that.
No, he's told pregame, he's got this many pitches or this many innings, whichever comes first.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. It happened to be five innings and the pitch count was what the pitch count was. So he came out. Jared Jones said as much after the game. It was always going to be five innings.
Well, and you know, the funny part about that is then people didn't believe him.
You know, they even go like, how do you feel about it? And he goes, it's awesome. I'm glad they're protecting me. That's great.
And and that's not good enough for people either. Look, I don't necessarily like it. I don't know, Gary, if it will have any impact on Jared Jones long term. Because the reality is, with all this arm stuff that's out there, guess what? Everybody's still guessing.
It's voodoo. It's voodoo.
All educated guesses.
I encourage everyone to go back to episode 116 of this show. It was with Eric Minshaw. Just listen to everything that we learned in that 1 hour about pitching and trying to keep these guys healthy. You don't have to think everything he is saying is applied to what the Pirates are doing, because it's not. But he represents a tiny fraction of all the thought that's put into trying to protect pitchers out in the marketplace. And nobody has figured it out. So I'm not sitting here telling you that this plan they're doing with Jared Jones is the right thing and it's going to work. All I'm saying is that is what they're doing. And what they're doing with Paul Skenes is what they're doing. Paul Skenes is only going to get 160 to 170 innings this year. They want him to get into May and be under 30 or 40 so that they can have him come up and not have to go back down and hopefully make it through the end. They'll adjust if they have to, just like they did with Oviedo.
That's what's funny about this is a lot of times when you mention this on social media about this is what they're doing, it's not defending it. It's just stating the facts. You know, I think people interpret it as is now you're behind that this approach is the right way to do it. It just is how they're going to handle it. And yep. And the Pirates, by the way, aren't the only team that's doing this.
Nope. And they're not the only team that it's openly, evidentially not working for.
Yep.
It's not stopping these injuries. Nobody in the league knows what it is. Right now, they're starting to blame youth baseball. You know, they're right now talking about youth baseball and how travel baseball culture has caused these kids to never, ever stop throwing. And their arms are half dead by the time they get drafted. And then by the time they make the majors, they're a time bomb. You know, if they actually go and make some changes down there at youth baseball level, it'll be 10 years before you start seeing that stuff trickle up to MLB.
Oh, at least.
The players own this too. The players are doing what gets them paid. Velocity, spin rate, all of that stuff. They want to hit those metrics so that they get paid. They know what it does to their arm.
Yeah. To me, it's no different in this regard of stepping onto a football field every time knowing what might happen. And you know what? You go 100 miles an hour and you just hope that it doesn't. That's the part that I think that everyone maybe loses in this is that you're going to compete and you're going to do everything you can to get there and compete and eventually get paid, have success. And you just hope that it doesn't, that you're not one of the guys. You hope that you're a Aroldis Chapman and not Mark Pryor. You know what I mean? Like you're just hoping.
Like here's a comment from Matt,
Helmer.
Sorry. What button wasn't working for a second. Shelton is a shill to management. I guess like you watch Moneyball and you think like that art house situations are happening.
Not anymore.
Like they push back on certain things that they super believe in. You know, I'm sure there's times they step in and go, no, 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 you cannot take this player from me. Like, you got to demote somebody else. I need this one. You don't understand what's going on in this room. I'm sure there's moments like that, but they're not fighting about this stuff. Nobody is. This stuff isn't even like necessary. Like, you think Ben Charrington's sitting on the toilet coming up with how many innings Jared Jones is allowed to go tomorrow? I mean, like, that's coming from nerds they pay. Right. And physicians they consult and trainers they work with and third parties that he's worked with. And that stuff is so in the weeds as far as where the decisions come from, that by the time they're locked in and agreed to, nobody changes them.
Yeah, and to Matt's point about Shelton being a shield of management, look around the game. There's a lot of managers out there anymore that are not in control of the things you think that they are, or maybe they were. Yeah. And that's why you see older managers like
Joe Madden, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not listening to some dork up in, you know, suite 103 tell me about something. And that's fine. But Derek Shelton is not, he's not Bruce Bochy. He's not, you know, there's certain levels to this.
Yeah, like, you're paying Craig Counsell millions of dollars to be your coach, like lots of millions of dollars. He probably has some more say in what's going on. But even he is reading from a bunch of analytics people they hired that are telling him real hard and twisting his arm, this is what you should do.
Yep.
So, I mean, it is what it is. You believe what you want. You want to hate Derek Shelton? I get it. I don't hate the guy. I haven't really evaluated him. I never bothered until I thought he had players. I think he does this year. So when I see things that don't work, he's the figurehead for it anyway. Well,
he does have, you know, he is the manager and he has to answer for some of this stuff. But as long as you know and understand that it's not fully, it's more of a collaborative effort in Major League Baseball than it has ever been. But yes, Derek Shelton will be the one. Andy Haynes will be the one where they will get eventually cooked because of it, because that's the way it's going to work.
Right. And, like, you know, I don't hear a lot of people praising Oscar Marin, even though he's got what everyone thought was an absolute destitute starting pitching rotation going really, really well.
It's a great point. We're not hearing I don't know. When's the last time you've heard? When's the last time you've read on Twitter his name?
Not very often, man, because at the end of the day, most of us don't really know what they do. You want to know? For one thing, with the Pirates, they don't do what they used to do. Like, you talk about, like, guys like Ray Searage, they used to have like a one-on-one relationship with every single pitcher, and Oscar does too, but Oscar's not giving them one-on-one mechanical instruction. Like, that's coming from elsewhere. You know, like, he's noticing stuff and they have someone else showing him. In-game stuff is not like they, hey, you're moving your foot too far this way. They don't do that stuff. Right. You know, like, it's not what you think. It's really, can you go out and encourage them or whatever? How do you judge that? I don't know. You know, do you tell the coach when a guy's really down? Are you good at that? Maybe like telling him, hey, stay away from so-and-so in the bullpen. That's really all a pitching coach does in game. The batting coach, he's not giving you tips, not in game. The last thing they want is you in your own head when you're at the plate in a game. Once you get into the game, your preparation for the game is over.
Yeah, the process in game is totally different than it is out of game. So
you'd have more of a chance of Kutch saying something to O'Neill Cruz than you would a hitting coach.
I was thinking that as you said it. I was like, you do see players looking at the iPad or, you know, looking at something and talking. I even saw the other day whoever was on deck. He was asking something up to whoever was coming off from an at-bat. And I still think that stuff goes on. Players will talk.
And I think, you know, we've said all along too, the way the Pirates have their top end structure, Haynes and Morin, they're in charge of the pitching and hitting plans for the entire organization from top to bottom. So I've always thought if that's the case, you probably need a good in between, like an actual on-field manager, like kind of work with people, like an on-field instructor. I think they're maybe spreading these guys too thin. You know, maybe they are good at what they do as far as administering a plan, but maybe you need better on-hands instruction as far as like helping to implement it or teach new tools. Because maybe that's a little too much to ask for these guys because you got them stretched too thin.
Yeah,
Marrero's been here longer than Haynes.
I think, too, like getting back to, we're talking less than 20 games. You know, it's very hard to even know how many teams know what they are right now. I would say very few. And the ones that do are probably uber talented. Everybody else is still sorting things out. It's so, I know people don't want to hear this. It's so early. It's 19 games. You got to get into 2-3 months of a season before you can think, okay, this is what we are actually dealing with. Yeah, these are some of our strengths and weaknesses. Up until now, man, you just hope to get off to a good start and figure it out.
Yeah, and I'd say some of these storylines cross over into 2023 a little bit more than others. Like the hitting philosophy kind of not producing is a storyline that I think stretches back a few years with a lot of the same players overlapping in different bit roles. A lot of this story is a bunch of kids trying to learn at the major league level. I think we forget how young some of these guys are. You know, we'll get into the catching situation and talk about Henry here in a moment, but he's a guy that every way is somebody that is struggling because he's a kid.
And young can mean age or it can mean playing time.
You absolutely know,
so there are two different ways to view that. And here I just saw, you know, Orioles just called up Jackson Holliday.
Yep.
Their best prospect. He's 20. I mean, so he's a young pup. I think he has one hit and like 25 at bats and like 14 Ks. So I mean, he's one of the best prospects in baseball. He'd immediately be the best hitting prospect in the Pirates organization. And he looks awful right now. So baseball will test your patience. It really will.
It's something that I think it's funny because, you know, we talk about Paul Skenes being ready or Jared Jones. Well, Jared Jones had stuff like this last year. He just didn't do it much, you know, like they held him back last year a lot to rest him and make sure that he wasn't stretching himself too far. He had a long jump to get to 126 last year. So, you know, they had to ramp him back. But as they did, the stuff was taking shape. He was hitting these kind of pitches. Imagine being a triple-A hitter facing that sort of stuff. Well, then you come up to the majors. Well, that's not as rare an occasion. You know, like you're going to face guys that can do that almost every night out of somebody's bullpen.
Yeah.
It's a different animal getting to the majors. I think we forget that part of this process is onboarding youngsters, and that does not come without growing pains. I'm sorry, it doesn't.
Well, are you a little surprised? I know everyone can get carried away. I'm just a little surprised at how carried away people some people get. You know, like talking about playing Alika Williams over O'Neill Cruz, or you know, sending Henry down, making Bart the starting catcher. I'm just surprised sometimes that, because I think a lot of people are watching and they've watched baseball for a long time. Is that really how you think it works? You know, I'm just surprised by it sometimes.
I am. And then again, like, you know, the way that they run this lineup, which is something else I want to talk about in the next segment, I think it kind of forces those situations to be in your face. And I'll explain what I mean when we get back from this break.
DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to the Pirates Fan Forum here on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. Jim, I wanted to talk a little bit about the lineup construction because I think I understand the intention was, you know, you had a lot of lefties, so you obviously had to play some of your righties, and some of your righties weren't your traditional starters. So it kind of was a hodgepodge start to the season, I would say, as far as the lineup construction goes. But they've never settled in on a lineup. And I still am a believer that guys like to settle in a little bit, know like who's hitting around them and whatnot. Health has prevented that. Their own ethos has prevented that a little bit. But what it's also created is a team that in unison goes cold or hot together, because there is nobody sitting on the bench that can come off and be a spark. You know, like, you'd love to go, hey, let's start Alika a couple games. He's hitting like 390 off the bench for some reason. Let's start him for a couple games, see if we can catch fire with him a little bit. Give Cruz a break, DH him once. You know, let's get the big boy off his feet. You'd love to be able to try to get a spark like that. Let's pull Olivares. You know, let's get him up there. You can't do that when everybody's playing because they're all cold together.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I think the issue is they're really, and I get it, they're trying to play matchups as best as they possibly can because so many of their guys do have a flaw of some sort, right? You're trying to keep Jack away from some lefties. You're trying to make sure that Rowdy is going to play certain times. You want Connor Joe to be playing at certain times and not other times. But yes, I do think you get to the point where it kind of starts to bleed throughout the whole lineup. Nobody's very few guys are getting like consistent at bats. I think that's been the biggest thing with Jack this year, to be honest. Is I don't know that Jack felt like he was on the team for the first week and a half.
It's weird, and they've been trying to get him an at bat here and there by, you know, bringing him in as a late defensive replacement, and, you know, he gets one at bat, maybe two. You know, they bring him in the seventh to do that. They've tried to do that with Rowdy a couple times too, to get him in when maybe they started Connor Joe. I understand it again, but I just feel like at some point you have to pick your best nine
and
run with it a little bit. You know, like, you don't want 13 guys thinking they all got equal stake in it. They don't. You know, there's some guys that shouldn't. I'd like to see a little bit more of that. Let's settle in here.
About that when we had him on, he was like, yeah, you know, like, you get a role, you don't have to be happy with it, but you know your role and you can go ahead and do your job. I think that's the thing with like a Triolo at this point. And what I kind of worried a little bit was, Gary, I think he is that perfect type of guy to be able to do some of those things for the Pirates. But he's also been thrust right into the starting lineup. And I wonder if that was a mistake. I don't know. You know, we don't know we've seen what Peguero and Gonzalez are doing in the minors. But there are some numbers behind that too that suggest that maybe it's real, maybe it's not.
I mean, for what it's worth, out of qualified hitters on this team, Triolo's got the third highest batting average right now.
Right, the batting average is something I think that he will do okay in no matter what.
Right. And I would say when nobody's hitting, I'll take that right now. You know, like, I have bigger concerns, and it's more getting absolutely nothing out of somebody like Davis. You know, there's issues there. So
do you want to talk about Davis and the
catching? I think that's what we should head into, the catching situation, because, you know, Grandal, he's in rehab now. They had him catch five innings the other day. I'm sure they'll give him another day or so off here. Then they'll throw him out there and he'll have to go nine. And if he goes nine and he's okay the next morning, they're probably going to pull him off of that rehab. So what do you do? You know, you got Joey Bart, which I know they had the concussion scare today. I would think the day off tomorrow, he's probably okay. If not, I suppose they could go ahead and put him on a concussion IL or something like that. But that would probably just be kicking the can down the road, and we'd still have to have this conversation.
Yeah, that's all it's going to do, right? Let's say he does have some symptoms or something and they 10-day him or something, where the issue is the same, right? Unless,
yeah.
Look, Henry is really complicating this, is he not? You know,
I'd like to think that he's not got anything left to learn in AAA, but I think he does have some things to learn in AAA. I think he's a guy that might need a little bit of a reset. Just to kind of remember he's a good hitter again. Because he right now, he doesn't know what he's doing.
It's rough.
He's really lost.
It's really rough, Gary. Like,
yeah.
I actually thought Henry would make a really good jump at the plate this year. But I'm seeing a guy that is swinging through a lot of fastballs. He's getting beat up in the zone a lot. He's swinging at bad off-speed stuff. He's taking pitches he shouldn't take.
Yep.
Ah, man. And then, you know, defensively, I think he's been better than I had hoped, but maybe not as good as you need to be every day in this league to be the guy. It's one of the bigger issues I can see on the horizon. And I don't know, how long do you give a guy?
Like you just said, it's been 20 games, you know? So I would think, like, ideally you'd want to give him a month. I just think that Grandal coming back is kind of going to make that a decision that has to get made sooner than later.
Well, interestingly enough, Bart, I don't think, has any options.
Nope.
Grandal, I don't know how receptive he's going to be if he's not on the roster. You know,
I don't think he would accept his assignment.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So then you've got Delay sitting there.
And Delay is probably longer term.
Longer term as in?
Injury.
Yeah.
So if you lose Grandal, then you don't have a backup catcher in the minors that you can pull up quick unless you go with Benz or Abraham Gutierrez. Eventually, you'll get Delay back, and then that's not a problem. You have an issue with Joey Bart because he doesn't have any options. You don't want to lose him because he's actually been hitting rather well and looks pretty good and could be a competent answer as backup catcher for a few years, pretty cheap, you know, if he works out. So you don't necessarily want to just let him go either. Henry Davis may be performing himself into a demotion, making this an easy decision for the Pirates, but how long do you let it go? Because I think if you're thinking about keeping him down there for half a season, I think you might be running into issues for next year. You know, he's got lessons to learn up here too.
You know, a lot of times, Gary, I think me and you can come up with some good ideas, good solutions, good ways to handle it. I'm really stumped with Henry. I really, really am. All I can do is hope that we see something where he busts out and starts looking comfortable at the plate, and a lot of this goes away. But if we are sitting here this time next month still having this same concern, yeah, that's scary, because I don't know what you do with it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think you get till next month to decide it. So, I mean, I could see it as a short-term thing, a couple weeks, maybe you do it. But, man, part of me either thinks you just go ahead and DFA Grandal, you know, see if he'll stay. You know, maybe you can have him shepherd some other guys down there or whatever. But that's where I would go with it, I think. And I would just ride it out with Henry, hoping that he gets better, at least defensively, and just let the season play out. Because getting the experience to me is more important right now for him at that position. And if Bart's still playing well, make it more of a 50-50 split, whatever.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. I think people, what I bristle at right away is start Bart. Like, he's the starter. Well, Joey Bart has had a rougher go of it than Henry Davis in his career, if you can believe that. And it's been a rocky road for him. Do I have a problem with starting to give Bart more playing time? Absolutely not. I think, why not? If he's showing a little something and you can take some of that pressure off Henry Davis, I would explore that 100%.
Yeah, right.
Henry to me is somebody who is really, really pressing. He looks like he's choking the bat to death when he's at the plate.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like there's a little bit of, you know, the overriding, this is what we'd like to see out of an at-bat from you, that's in his head. A little bit of, I'm tired of not doing anything at the plate in his head.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fall for that trick this time is in his head. And then he does. He's got a little bit of Wile E. Coyote in him right now at the plate, where he's always set the wrong trap. He's always looking in the wrong direction. He's always making the wrong mistake.
And defensively, they're not doing anything to stop teams on the base paths. What I worry about is, and granted, you know, that's pitchers' responsibilities too. But what I worry about is teams are going to get to the point where they're just going to say, you will have to show us you can stop it because you are not doing anything to slow down a running game.
Right. And Chapman on the mound is a walk is a triple.
Yeah, it's a free pass. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's almost as bad as there was that one pitcher a while ago, Lester, wouldn't throw to first base, you know,
right,
no matter what. So you knew it was going to happen. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good synopsis for the catching situation, because the only other thing I can think of would be to try to go with three catchers for a minute. But Jim, I don't see that. I just don't. I think if you had a DH spot open, you might want to do that. But I don't see that as viable right now. I don't think you can afford. You can afford to lose an outfielder, but I think the need for another infielder is greater than the need for a third catcher.
We just mentioned about the infield. So then, I mean, what do you? How, you can't get around keeping extra catchers and extra infielders, and you know you're trying. I mean, you only have so many spots. Right. So, look, here's what I will say about all this. And I forget who posted this, but it's true. Look, they're going to get 7 games here at home. If they can come back and have a couple good series at home, which they haven't been playing at all, a lot of this angst goes away. But it's going to stick around until they show otherwise that they can prove that this is just a blip.
Sure. Or they can make some roster moves. You know, I think we're kind of getting there because there's 2 other big elephants in the room, right? We have Marco Gonzalez injured. We don't know the severity yet, but twinges in that guy's elbow is probably scarier than twinges in just about anyone else's, right? You know, so who knows how that plays out? Who knows how long term this is? How do they go about it? They don't technically need one. Until like Tuesday, you know, so because you can have Mitch Keller go Friday and then just start right back into your rotation. You won't hit that spot again until Tuesday. So they could wait. They could decide one of their relievers has had enough for a minute and send him down and bring up that starter so that he can get acclimated to being with the team a little bit before. Quinn Priester's your best option probably on the 40 man, I would say. Paul Skeens, you're going to want to see him over 5 innings, up around 80 pitches. That's not going to happen before May. So you either get through with a few bullpen games, which I wouldn't advise. I think that would be a dangerous game to play right now. Or, you know, you bring somebody up. What do you think they'll do?
Yeah, I mean, you've got guys like Ortiz and Contreras that you could cobble something together with. Josh Fleming, right? He's somebody, but they've been using him later in games. So
I think it's a one bullet shot, though. I think you got one bullet. I don't think you can do that back to back turns in the rotation and be safe with this group, especially Rowanzi. They haven't been letting him go more than an inning.
Yeah.
You know, and Ortiz, yeah, I could see 2 innings, but that's about all he's been doing. So I'm not so sure that those long relief options are really long relief options anymore.
They're probably not. I think Ortiz, you could probably get 3 out of. Quinn's probably the guy that I would look at and say, bring him up. He's pitched pretty well. I don't know that he has a lot left to learn in Triple A. He might be the best option, but I don't think you're going to see Skeens until, like you said, I think we're a month away. I really do.
I think he probably has 3 more outings before he's where I think you can really officially put the watch on. That's just when I think it'll time out.
Yeah.
But I don't think they'll find much reason to keep him down there, you know, providing they don't have 5 guys just dealing.
Right.
You know, they bring up Priester and he does well, which, hey, he started well. He seems to have fully embraced kind of being a little bit less of a velocity monster and a little bit more of a pitch mix guy. So we'll see what he does. They're letting him do it instead of making him focus on the fastball. So it's either going to fall on its face or succeed. I think he should get a shot, though.
I mean, I do, too. I think he's probably learned quite a bit since he was here last year. I think the one thing that I do kind of hang my hat on a little bit with everything right now is starting pitching is starting to look maybe even better than we even imagined, because you've got K Keller getting right. Jared Jones has looked really good. Perez has been
brilliant.
Really, really good.
He's been brilliant. If Jared Jones wasn't what he was so far this year, we'd all be talking about how brilliant Martin Perez has been.
Yeah, I mean, and then you have Skeens just sitting there waiting. Even Bailey Falter has looked good. So like
Bailey Falter, no joke, has been dealing.
He has. So like that's, you know, and I think you can point to a lot of it and say, okay, I don't know that it's all that fluky. Falter to me, you know, I'm still waiting on. But the other ones, I think you can say, okay, there's actually something really there. If they can just get the bullpen a little healthier and not bottom out at the plate. They just can't bottom out, Gary. You can't, that's, you know, 1 and 2 run games. You're not winning anything.
Right. That's the bottom line. The bats got to get going now. They're in a really cold stretch at the plate. Hopefully you get this off day. I do believe they're a tired team right now. That's a lot of road games they've played coming right off spring training. A lot of these, I mean, these guys have been home for like 7 days in about 2 months. So,
yeah,
you know, so that's a tired team. I think this off day will be good. Hopefully Brian Hayes is healthy and can jump right back in. I would like to see them bring up a reinforcement. Let's get some energy in the room. Let's get a kid up here. You know, let's get somebody like a Peguero up here, start forcing him into the lineup a little bit more. Let's see if we can't rest Cruz a little bit more strategically, you know.
And try to jumpstart things a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think too, like, real quick before we go, give me your take on everybody saying, you know, with the Jared Jones situation, them pulling him after five, they blow the game after that. All the games count. All the games count. All the games matter. Doesn't matter if it's April 17th or September 1st. How do you look at that? Because that was a big discussion.
I totally agree with it. I mean, I don't like it any more than anyone else does. I grew up when baseball wasn't like this. Never mistake my acceptance for how things are after much study as endorsement.
Endorsing it, right.
You know, or trying to convince you to love it. At worst, I'm trying to convince you to shut your mouth about it. Because I'm tired of hearing, because I'm bored of having discussion, because it's that settled. That's at worst what I'm trying to do. Most of the time, I'm just, this is why it's happening. That's it.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes I don't even jump into those conversations because I feel like people think you are defending it, and I'm just accepted of what it is. I will say this, though. I don't look at a game where it's 1-0 in the fifth and your pitcher leaves, regardless of the situation, as a game that you blow. It's 1-0. There's half of a game left to be played. I just don't see it as those are games that are completely and totally up in the air at that point.
I don't think you plan on winning a lot of 1-0 games. You know? So I agree with you. It's not settled, you know, that like I think even like that scale that people do, like as the game goes on where it talks about who's in favor, it never left that 50-50 point until they scored more. You know, like 1-0 is what it is.
Gary, it's 3. That's like being at the start of the third quarter and it's 3-0.
Yeah. I'll say this though, you would have one thing I saw a lot of confusion about. I think this is probably the last point I have on Jared Jones thing. I'm glad we circled back to it in a weird way. The other confusion point was people thinking because he was pulled after 5 innings. Well, now it's all about innings because the pitch count was so low. So that's stupid. It's supposed to be about pitch count. It usually is. It usually is. You're not wrong that it's usually about pitch count, but almost always it's both. They'll basically say you're going to go five innings or you're going to throw 90 pitches. If those 90 pitches happen in the fourth, you're out. If you've thrown 48 pitches in the fifth, you're out. And it's because, and this is the part that people don't necessarily think about, because they as fans don't count them, but the team and teams do. They count the ups and downs for a guy. And that's the number of times that you go out, heat up, throw your inning, sit down, cool down, get up, heat up, throw your inning. The number of times that happens is part of the program. So if they say this guy can only do that five times, that won't change. You get what I mean? You may not care about that, but they're throwing 10 pitches in between and they're counting that. Like, that's how they count their bullpen pitches. They count their long tosses.
It does seem, you know, is it to a ridiculous degree? I don't know. Maybe it is.
Probably, I think that's what we'll find out. We just watched an entire country wear a mask that half of us didn't think would work, right?
Yeah.
And we still don't really know whether it worked or not, because one side won't admit that it didn't, and one side won't admit that it does, and it's stupid now, right?
It's like sending 10 kids to a boarding school and hoping to straighten them all out. Well, they're all individuals. They're all people that respond differently to everything. And that's why this is such an inexact science. Yeah. It's because everybody is unique in their builds and their genetics. And like, I don't know that they'll ever, Gary, ever figure that out.
I don't either. But I do encourage people, seriously, I know it's a second endorsement, go back and listen to 116. Of this show. It's well worth your time. There's just some nuggets in there. When he just talks about them, you'll be like, I can't believe that's even a thing they think about. It is.
Yeah.
They measure everything and then apply that to everything that you're yelling about from your couch, thinking Derek Shelton's changing. You know, like, he's not. He's not messing with all that science that's getting slammed into the side of his head.
He doesn't even have the authority to mess with it.
No. And the thing is, Jim, again, it's laughable because it could all be wrong. It could all be wrong. So it is what it is.
And the thing you would do for one guy might be bad for the next guy. Yeah. You just do not know. Ask Aroldis Chapman why he's never had an arm issue or if anybody can figure that out.
It must be all the Cuban food that he ate growing up. That's the answer. You got to eat a whole lot of Cuban food.
Okay. One other thing about Jared Jones, and then I'll shut up. We can go. You can't tell me if Pirates just rode Jared Jones normally, and in August he had elbow issues, what would the fan base be saying at that point?
Or take it a step further. What if just in August they said, okay, that's it. See you next year, Jared. Because
the Nationals ended up doing with Strasburg one year.
I'm just saying that's what would happen. There is a number he won't go past. And the player is appreciative of that as well. I think you have to understand the players' union supports this type of decision-making as well.
Yeah.
So there's an awful lot of factors involved in this stuff. And again, hate Derek Shelton all you like. Hate him for the right things. This isn't him. That's all I'm saying. He's the guy that's just got to look you in the camera and go, yeah, we had a plan. And
yep.
What else is he going to say?
I think the only way the Pirates get out of that without any criticism is if Jared Jones just stayed healthy and pitched. Yeah. Otherwise, you're mad that you're babying him, or you're mad that you've overused him and damaged him.
Well, if he stays healthy, they'll never get credit for him staying healthy.
No.
You know, nobody will ever look back on this and go, you know, that day I complained about him being pulled out after five innings. God damn it, I was wrong. All along, Ben Charrington knew what he was doing.
The nerds will never get their due, Gary.
Absolutely. And we didn't do a Call Your Shot this week. I'm sorry. I got wrapped up talking to Jim. Send us a Call Your Shot on social media, anywhere. A good question or topic you want us to talk about. And the good people at Yinz, Shop Yinz, our kind sponsors, will help you take some nice percentage points off of a gift from them on anything they sell. Not just our stuff. You can get anything you like.
Which is super cool, but they have other super cool stuff.
Right. So, hey, let's end the show. I think we covered a lot of ground. It was a good conversation, Jim. Stuff we had to talk about, for real. Let's toss it off to the kid that knows the most, though.
Let's go, Buck!
Yeah, buddy. All right, see you, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.